Hoops Hype polled 15 NBA executives and asked them to rank five or vote for five NBA players under the age of 25 that they would want to build their team around. Where did Kay Cunningham end up in this? We'll talk about that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast or on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. Leave us a five-star review on whatever platform that is. That's another great way to support the podcast. Before we get into the first topic, I have a few things I got to tell you guys, a few little updates, things I want to tell you guys. One, I'm recording a mailbag episode at the end of this week. So if you guys listen on the podcast, tweet me at Kuka Hill, whatever podcast or mailbag question you have, or you can leave a question in one of the reviews. If you want to write a review, leave a question there. I'll look at those as well. If you listen to this on YouTube or watching on YouTube, comment down below a question that you want to have answered on the mailbag episode later this week. Another thing, I'll be going live on the YouTube channel this weekend, probably Saturday. So I would hit that bell icon on YouTube and just stay tuned because I will be going live. So if you guys want to participate in that and chuck it up with me and you know talk about the Pistons, I'll be doing that this weekend, probably on Saturday. And lastly, all of you guys that are watching this on YouTube, I would really appreciate it if you guys head over to the podcast platforms, preferably Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you guys head over there and just leave the podcast a five-star review, I really would appreciate it. It's a great way to support the podcast. Again, I'd really appreciate it. But without further ado, let's get into the first topic of today's episode. So, Hoops Hype pulled 15 NBA executives, and they were asked to rank their top five players under 25 years old by the start of this season they would want to build around. Kay Cunningham is on this list. They put their top 15 answers. So, your 15 different players that got an answer. So they ranked all 15 of them based off the votes that they got, etc. So where do you guys think Kay Cunningham ranked in this? Before I even give you guys that answer, let me know what you guys thought in the comment section down below or over on Twitter, and then come back and see if your answer was right. I'm going to say this. I don't agree with where Cade is at. There's a few guys ahead of him that I really am not happy about. Really not happy about a few of these guys being ahead of them. I really don't like where they have them ranked. But let's go through the full list so you guys can see everyone that's ahead of Cade and where he actually is ranked. So number one is Luka Doncic. I don't think any of us really would argue with that. Luka is like probably going to go down as one of the best players ever. Luka's insane. So that's number one. Number two, Jason Tatum. Can't really argue with it. Ja Morant, number three. Can't really argue with it. This is the first one I start scratching my head at. Evan Mobley, number four. I'm not going to get into why I disagree with this or think, you know, how this affects Cade until a little bit later, because a few other guys, too, that he's going to fall into this group of I'm going to talk about. But he's number four. Number five, Anthony Edwards. I get it. Number six, Zion. Obviously, you get Zion. He has injury risk, but when Zion's on the court, he's one of the best guys we've ever seen around the basket, inside the paint, maybe even the best ever. He's insane. Number seven, this is another guy that falls into the group with Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes, and number seven. Stay tuned. LaMelo Ball at eight. Don't agree with this one. I don't agree with LaMelo being above Cade. I really like LaMelo. I think LaMelo is going to be great. I'm a really big fan of LaMelo. But I don't think LaMelo should be above Cade, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. He also kind of falls into that group with these other guys we'll talk about a little bit later. Trae Young is at number nine as well. Him and Trae Young tied at number nine with Darius Garland. Trae Young is a crazy offensive machine. I get it, but his defense kind of I think maybe puts a cap on things. Darius Garland also, I don't agree with Garland being ahead of Cade. And then you finally got Cade at number 11. So they have Cade ranked number 11 on this list. There was two NBA executives that voted Kay Cunningham fifth overall on their ballots, which I think is probably close to where he should be. Those guys showed him a lot of respect. But I really don't like where he's ranked here. I really don't like that Garland, LaMelo, Scotty Barnes, and Evan Mobley all ranked ahead of him. First of all, Evan Mobley and Scottie Barnes being ahead of Cade. The argument I'm going to go against with Evan Mobley is that Evan Mobley's great. He's going to be a superstar. Evan Mobley's great. But I think you always would rather have the guy, your initiator, your primary ball handler. You can have a superstar primary ball handler. You always take that over the big guy who can play drop coverage, switch, and occasionally hit an outside shot and be a defensive player of the year. Like, we've seen that. I mean, not to the degree I guess people think Mobley could get to, but Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert has a cap on his team because he's not able to really do things offensively. He's not a primary initiator. I feel like all big guys outside Jokic, because Jokic and Embiid too, because they are basically primary initiators. But outside of those two guys, if your big guy is not a primary initiator, you still need to get that initiator on your team, and that kind of makes them more important in my opinion. So I don't get how Mobley would be ranked above Cade. And then going back to Scottie Barnes, I don't see how I really don't get how Scottie Barnes and Evan Mobley are being ranked ahead of Cade, when Cade is a better passer than these guys. He's a better playmaker. He's a better initiator, primary ball handler. And he also is a two-way guy. If you had like a primary ball handler, like a Donovan Mitchell, and he's not good defensively, he's just getting blown by all the time, then I could understand it if Cade's being knocked down for that. He's just a rotating door defensively, then I get that, because that puts a cap on your ceiling somewhat. Just like with Trae Young. That's probably why Trae Young fell so far. Because some people believe that there's a cap because of how bad he is defensively. Cade doesn't have that cap. So he's good defensively, and he's really good offensively. So I don't see how he's not at the top, towards the top of that, because that's what you want in your superstar player, your face of the franchise, a guy who can go both ways and be your primary initiator. I have no clue how he's not higher than these guys, how he's not higher on this list. It doesn't make any sense to me. That's the same kind of argument we're going to use for LaMelo Ball. He's also a rotating door defensively. I know he has a little bit, he's pretty decent in the passing lanes. He shows good defensive instincts at times, but he's nowhere near consistent on it. And he's just an on ball. He gets blown by a lot. So there's another thing with LaMelo. Same kind of thing with Darius Garland and Trae Young. The thing with Kay Cunningham is he's 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", wherever his actual height is, somewhere in there. They lie every single day. But he's somewhere between there. He's a big guy. He's strong. He's your initiator. He's your main ball handler. He can seek out mismatches. He's a great passer. He's a great playmaker. He can find the right guys. He's going to get his teammates involved, and he's going to give up just as much energy on the defensive end. He's really good in the passing lanes. He's big, so he can switch off onto bigger guys, and he got stronger this offseason. I have no clue how Kay Cunningham's not higher on this list. I think this is honestly really disrespectful, and kind of goes back to what we talked about in this last episode with Stephen A. Smith, that it's just like guys that play in Detroit, if you go to Detroit, you just get slept on no matter what. Like, guys don't watch you. They disrespect you. They just don't watch you. You don't get the respect you deserve. And I think this very clearly points out to this, to that statement right there. Like, Cade should be higher in this list. I think I would have Cade around. Like, I'm not going to argue Cade. Like, I've said on the podcast before, I think Cade could be a future MVP, okay? I think he can be a future MVP in this NBA. But I'm not going to sit here and make the argument that Cade's going to be better than Luka. I'm probably not even going to sit here and make the argument that he should be higher than Jason Tatum, that he should be higher than John Morant, and not even Anthony Edwards. Like, I'm not going to be bold and sit here and act like, oh, Cade's better than all these guys. You guys are stupid. No, I get why those guys are ahead. I completely get it. I understand it. And somewhat to a degree, I agree. So I'm not going to argue about those guys. But these other dudes, Evan Mobley, maybe even Zion because of his health risk, but Zion's such a generational athlete and generational player that what he is on the court, I'm not going to argue with it either. So those five guys, but Mobley, Scotty, LaMelo Ball, Trae Young, Darius Garland, all being ahead of Kay Cunningham, it's just kind of crazy to me. I can understand a few of those guys maybe being ahead of him because it is a voting system, so they just got more votes than some other – okay, whatever. But him being below every single one of those guys, when half of those guys can't play defense, other part of those guys can't initiate an offense and create for others, where Kay can do that, initiate for others, play defense, score for himself, finish around the basket, create in the mid-range, switch on defense. Like, he can do all of it. I have no clue how he falls. I can't wait for this season. Not because I think the Pistons are going to be great, but because I think Cade's going to shut a lot of people up and really put people on the map of just how great he's going to be. Because this is truly wild. This is truly wild to really look at. I don't agree with this list at all. Cade should be higher, but Anyways, I don't want to rant too long about that. Let me know what you guys think about it. If you guys agree with me, disagree with me on some things, who you guys have Kate above? Do you guys think Kate actually is too high? Let me know all that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukahill. I'd really appreciate hearing your guys' thoughts on this list. When we come back, we might be talking, we might be talking about trading for a player that I've said on the podcast many, many times. If you even mention it, I'll block you. I may be coming around to the idea of it. We'll talk about who I'm talking about and what kind of trade that would look like when we come back from the ad break. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's college football games. BetOnline is your continuous source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends in action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net right now, you will see that Jane Ivey is third in odds to win Rookie of the Year next year. That's the kind of thing you can already get into over at BetOnline.net. You can look at MVP, championship favorites, top pick favorites, all that kind of stuff at BetOnline.net. Check it out over at their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Or really, I would really appreciate all of you guys watching on YouTube to head over to one of the podcast platforms, leave us a five-star review. Again, I would really appreciate it. It's another great way to support the podcast. But also, you guys know these guys, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Giannis. Which NBA player moves the betting line the most this season? Locked On and BetOnline Oddsmakers present the NBA Top 50 Most Valuable Players starting on September 19th. Find it on Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. You guys will be extremely interested to see where Kay Cunningham ranks on this, and I'll tell you guys this now. Go ahead and spoil this. He is on the list. It's going to be super interesting to see where he falls on that list, so stay tuned for that. Again, September 19th. All right, so this trade, I've said – I've said over and over, if you guys mention this dude to me, I'm just going to block you. I'm not going to talk to you guys. Like, I don't even want to entertain it. And I was being a little bit dramatic, a little bit for the show there. You know, I was being just fun. I would use the description as fun with it. But I'm starting to come around to the idea of trading for this player. And honestly, I don't even like saying this player's name out loud on a Pistons podcast, because rumor has it that simply saying his name has a chance of just contaminating your entire franchise, let alone trading for him. So I'm still scared about that. But for those of you guys, just I have to let you guys know who I'm talking about, and that's Russell Westbrook. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Can't believe I just said it. But I'm coming around to the idea of the Pistons possibly being the team that trades for Russell Westbrook. And before you click off the video, before you click off the podcast, before you guys go and write me these angry messages like, who, what the hell are you talking about? We don't want Russell Westbrook. Let me present the argument to you. Let me present everything before you go into the comment section and start raining on me. Before you guys go to the Twitter and start raining on me, just let me let you guys know something. Let me give you my argument. First off, I just want to make this clear. If any of you guys are thinking I'm talking about trading for Russell Westbrook for him to spend more than a singular day on the Detroit Pistons roster, you guys on crack. You guys need to go get tested. I am not with the intent at all to have him be on this roster longer than 20 minutes after you trade for him. He's you're buying him out or you're sending him home. He's not on the roster. He's gone. So trading for him is not, he's going to carry us to too many wins, or having him on the team is going to be toxic. No, like, literally, you're trading for him and you're dropping him immediately. He's not spending more than 10 minutes on your roster. So just, I don't want to hear any of those comments. Just listen to me. With that idea, you're not having him on the roster. So why are you trading for Russell Westbrook? Russell Westbrook, he's on an expiring contract for $47 million. So that means next season, heading into next offseason, that $47 million is coming off your cap space and you have all that cleared up for free agency. Now, the Pistons have a lot of players on their team that are either expirings or have a team option for next year. So your guys' response to me could be, well, Ku, they're going to be freeing up a lot of cap space next season anyways. How does that really help? I'll tell you guys, this is how. So the trade would be, let me get it up. So the trade would be Russell Westbrook and the 2027 first round pick for Nerlens Noel, Alec Burks, Kemba Walker, and Kelly Olynyk. So what you're doing with this trade, what makes this trade so enticing to me and why I'm actually considering, and actually not even considering, if this is on the table and the Lakers are willing to do it, I think the Pistons should pull the trigger instantly. Because, one, Russell Westbrook, again, is not playing for you. You're waiving him or buying him out instantly. You're getting a first-round pick. His contract comes off the books next year, which next offseason, we've all understood, is the offseason where Troy Weaver is going to take this big swing. So you're getting cap space for next year. You're not taking on any long dead salary. You're not waiving, stretching him. Like, you're getting that cap off next season. So he's not going to be even affecting you at all. You're freeing up $47 million for next season. The second thing is you're getting a first round pick for a Lakers team in 2027. It looks like it's going to be utter trash. This team looks like it might be utter trash this year. And after LeBron retires, I think they're going to be utter trash again. So you're getting a 2027 pick in what should be a good year to have it from the Lakers. I think that's a really good pick you'd want to have. And I think the Pistons would then use that pick in a trade in the future, whether they are trying to go for a guy. Because remember, they don't have their first-round pick right now. Their first-round pick, I believe, right now is with New York. I know it's been traded around a few times, but I believe their first-round pick is with New York right now and it's protected like 1 through 18. Now, they could work around it and then trade 19 to 32, or no. They could trade 1 to 18 next year, but it gets super complicated. They're probably not going to do that. So they don't really have a first-round pick to trade right now. So if you got this first-round pick, simply for taking on Russell Westbrook's one-year contract and setting him home, you're freeing up money for next offseason to go after big guys in free agency, and you're getting a first-round pick that you can use in trades now because you don't have one. The other great thing that this trade would do, you're getting rid of Kemba Walker, who he's probably going to get bought out. We talked about that a few days ago. He's going to get bought out. But they're holding on to him in case someone wants to trade for him. In a situation like this, it would make sense. So you get rid of Kemba Walker. You're getting rid of Alec Burks, Nerlens Noel, and Kelly Olynyk. And what does getting rid of them do? I think you guys all understand what that does. That frees up minutes for every single young guy on the team. So I know a lot of us have been sitting here talking about like the rotation. It doesn't make sense. You got 5 minutes for Noel, Olynyk. You got 5 minutes for Burks. Like, how are you going to get all these minutes to these young guys? How are you going to do that? Well, this trade completely removes that possibility by giving up all your veterans for a first-round pick and $47 million in cap space next offseason. Like, you're freeing up minutes for all your young guys, for guys like Diallo, who we don't know how he's going to get minutes right now, for guys like Duren, who are competing really with Nerlens Noel for minutes, and Kelly Olynyk. You're freeing up minutes possibly even for Kevin Knox to play backup 4 or 3. You could run a lineup with, I don't know, Killian, Hamidou Diallo, Knox, Livers, and Duren in the backup. Like, you're freeing up minutes for all your young guys. So every single young guy that you have drafted that you're invested in is going to have a pathway to minutes. And while Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks are both at team options next year, and Kemba Walker is going to get bought out if he doesn't get traded. He's on a one-year contract. So that right there is, what is that, $28 million that would be automatically be coming off the books next year no matter what. Kelly Olynyk actually is on a two-year contract. So you're still freeing up money that you wouldn't already have. I believe, if my math is correct, that you'd be freeing up around, like, I believe, like, 13 extra million dollars than you were already have. I believe that that's my math is correct. But either way, my point is that you're creating even more cap space that you already would have next year if you take this trade, while also getting a first-round pick, while also freeing up all the minutes and all the questions that we have about the rotation, considering all the young guys. You're answering all that by taking on Russell Westbrook's one-year, $47 million contract with a first-round pick. And again, he's not touching Detroit. He's not coming into the city. He's not coming to the state of Michigan. He's not staying longer than 10 minutes on this roster. I mean, as soon as you get that Woj bomb that Russell Westbrook's been traded to Detroit, you're going to instantly get another Shams bomb that says Russell Westbrook's been bought up by Detroit. Like, that's the plan. He's not staying on this roster. You won't even remember that he was a Detroit Piston, that the Pistons traded for him. You wouldn't even know. You're not even going to remember that. And 2 years from now, you're not even going to know how the hell Russell Westbrook ended up with the Lakers. That's how quick the Pistons are going to get rid of him. have no incentive at all about having him on this roster. But everything else, I think actually it makes a lot of sense. I think the Pistons should be talking about it. I think the Pistons should be incredibly interested in it. Again, the big point I want hammered forward, obviously the first round pick, I think you guys get that. And the cap space, I think you guys understand that too. But again, the rotational questions that we've had all offseason, how are you going to get minutes for Durant? How are you going to get minutes for Kevin Knox or Isaiah Livers and Hamidou Diallo? How are you going to get minutes to them while also giving minutes to Nerlens Noel, Kelly Olynyk, Alec Burks? Like, how are you going to do that? And doing this trade answers all those questions. You're getting the young guys minutes that all of you guys want. You guys all want to see the young guys play. You guys don't want to see the veterans. I know you guys don't. You guys want to see all the rookies, all the young guys play. And what better way to do it? By creating cap space and getting a first-round pick for doing it. Why? What? Dude, I don't see a better way of doing it. So I think this trade, if it's on the table and the Pistons can get the Lakers to give them a first-round pick for these players, I think they absolutely should do it. 100% pull the trigger. Now, I doubt the Lakers actually would do this. I don't know if the Lakers would give up a first-round pick for Kelly Olynyk, Nerlens Noel, Alec Burks. I don't know how they think about those guys. I do think they would make them better, but I don't know if they view them as that much better by giving up that first-round pick in Russell Westbrook. But again, like I said, if it's on the table and the Pistons present this offer to them and they say, yeah, we'll take that, the Pistons should pull the trigger. I think it would be a great trade, honestly. And again, Russell Westbrook's not staying even more than 5 minutes on the team. Let me know what you guys think about this trade in the comment section down below. Now that you guys have actually heard my argument, I swear to God, if one of you guys tweet me or comment on the YouTube section, whatever one, if you got to get in contact with me and I see a comment or a statement saying something like, no, we don't want Russell Westbrook, blah, blah, I promise you guys, I actually will ignore you and block you. Because that will just tell me you guys saw the initial 1 minute of me introducing this topic and just went immediately to come at me. I told you guys, give me a second to explain it. I think I won a lot of you guys over. I doubt that a lot of you guys actually would disagree with some of this stuff. But if you guys do still after hearing my argument again, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. When we come back, like I told you guys in the last episode, we're doing a new little segment at the end of each podcast until the preseason comes up. A segment called, you want to know what really grinds my gears? Now, I'm going to tell you guys something that's been grinding my gears the last few days when we come back. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Or you guys can head to whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. Or if you're on YouTube watching, you guys can also head to one of the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever, and leave a 5-star review. That's another great way to support the podcast. I'd really appreciate it. All right, so In the daily segment, in the daily episode segment of what grinds my gears, let me tell you guys something that's grinding my gears. So first thing we're going to talk about is obviously what's going on in Phoenix with their owner, Robert Sarver. The things that they said, that the investigation has come out and said that he's done. Some of the things that he said, the way he treated some of the people in the franchise, especially some of the slurs that he said, specifically using the N-word over and over, apparently. That dude probably shouldn't be owning a team. I'm gonna be honest. He probably shouldn't be owning a team. Suspending him a year and giving him a $10 million fine, I don't think does anything really to him, to be honest. Obviously, he's an owner. He's probably a billionaire. Like, it doesn't do much to him. And I'm not going to dive too much deeper into it other than that that dude does not look like to be a very good dude at all and probably shouldn't have an NBA team, and should probably be selling that team to somebody else. And whatever process that would go into taking a team away, I know that there's a process that you can go into. I know it's a lengthy process and it's really hard to do. I know Adam Silver talked about that in a press conference he had the other day. However hard that is, I think that process should have at least been started. Whether it worked or not, or whether you were able to get it done, or whether the owners supported it, I don't know. But I think that should have been at least tried. And nonetheless, even though I know Adam Silver kind of has his hands tied, he can't really just, like I said, just be the judge, jury, and executioner. Like, he can't just do it himself. Yeah, the guy just shouldn't have an NBA team, and it grinds my gears that he does. But anyways, in more of a lighthearted, grinds my gears answer, it's Killian Hayes, man. Listen, I see it. We get highlights this offseason of Amadou Diallo. Oh, my God, he's working out. He looks like he's going to be amazing. We get a 20-second workout video of Isaiah Stewart hitting some threes. Oh, my God, we got Dirk Nowitzki on his way. Oh, my God, he's going to be the greatest shooter ever. We get some highlights of a Sadiq Bey workout. We don't even get highlights of Sadiq Bey. We simply hear that he was living in the mountains. Everyone's, oh, my God, he's sleeping in the mountains. Oh, my God, what's he doing? He's coming back. He's going to be Paul George. He's going to be crazy. That's the kind of stuff you get with that. Killian Hayes doesn't even post his workouts. His trainer, Sean Foss, does. One of the trainers he has. Post a work, like a 20-second workout video of Killian Hayes, like once every 2 weeks or something. And every time he does it, he doesn't get any of the, like, I'm not even saying you should be like hyping it up. I don't think you should be hyping up any workouts really. But if you want to do that, that's fine. That's fun. Killian Hayes gets the exact opposite of that. As soon as a workout video with him comes out, it's, why is he even working out? He shouldn't even be practicing. He sucks. So go back to France. Don't come back to Detroit. All this, blah, blah, blah. You suck. You're trash. Blah, blah, blah. Please. Just stop working out. You should just retire. Go be a GQ. Like, I've never seen a 21-year-old who's not even posting the highlights himself get dragged for working out in the offseason, for trying to get better, for literally trying to get better. He gets dragged literally by so many Pistons fans. And I'm sure a lot of you guys listening do it. He gets dragged by so many people. Simply for training, simply for working out and trying to get better, where all these other guys, like I said, Diallo works. Oh, my God, he's coming back. Oh, Isaiah Stewart, Dirk Nowitzki, you see how he's hitting these shots in this workout, 20-second workout video? Oh, we simply heard about Sadiq. He's in the mountains. Oh, my God, he's going to be Paul George. Oh, my, like all this other stuff, we freak out about that. But Killian Hayes gets a 20-second workout video posted, and everyone, it's just like, it's like hundreds of people just get to destroying him and just obliterating him. Like, it's crazy. It grinds my gears, dude. It's crazy. It's by far probably the biggest thing that's grinded my gears this past week, because it's just like, why the dude's working out, the dude's trying to get better in the offseason, he's not even the one posting the clips, it's not even him. So I it grinds my gears, man. It grinds my gears. Why does everybody else get to have their workouts hyped up? You don't even have to say nothing, to be honest. You don't even have to say nothing for Killian's workouts. You don't like it. You don't want to see him work out. You think it's dumb. You hate him. You hate him as a player. You hate him as a person. You don't want to see him work out. Okay, just don't say nothing. But why does everybody have to go out of their way to drag a 21-year-old for trying to get better? Like, it'd be different if you guys were dragging him for just not working out. Then I could get that. But he's actively working out. We've got like 10 workout videos this offseason of him working out, and each one he's getting dragged for simply working out. Like, it's crazy. It's truly some wild stuff that I've never seen before. I've never seen this kind of treatment to a player in my life of watching the Pistons. It's crazy. But those are some things that grinded my gears over the last few days since we did the last episode. If you guys want to participate in this segment, this fun segment, you guys can go in the comment section down below or tweet me some things that have grinded your gears concerning the NBA or the Detroit Pistons over the last few days. You guys can do that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for listening to today's episode, making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Head to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Leave a 5-star review. Those are some great ways to support the podcast. Again, I'm going to give you guys a little heads up on the things we told you about at the beginning of the episode. I'm going live sometime on Saturday. Stay tuned for that. Hit that bell icon on YouTube. Get notified when I go on. We're having a mailbag end of this week. Make sure you guys send in your questions if you guys want to appear on the mailbag. And all of you guys watching on YouTube, you guys could head to the Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Spotify. Leave a 5-star review. That would be a great way for those of you guys who already subscribed. You guys want to find another way to support the podcast, go do that for me. I would really appreciate it. We have a really another big time guest coming on the podcast in a few days. Big time guest. I'm really excited. We're doing really good as a podcast, getting these big name guys. I can't wait for you guys to listen, man. But until then, I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody, and stay safe.